a prison.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're thankful that you have chosen to tune in to this station today, and we're going to spend the next half hour with you today talking about the Word of God. So pray that you are getting ready to have a good weekend, Memorial Day weekend coming up this week, and imagine some people will be taking some long vacations. I believe it is the official kickoff of summer is the way that it was referred to when I was growing up. I've got some work to do to get in shape for that kickoff. And, you know, we'll just, enjoy what God gives us this, this summer. We've got our 65th anniversary service coming up, services coming up, in June, and, Father's Day after that. Lots of exciting things going on, at Merritt Assembly of God. And we hope that you will come and be a part of them. Tomorrow night, our kids ministry will be, beginning at 6 PM when we start serving food. We have a lot of, families that, that's a major blessing for them is when we are able to provide a meal. It's not a steak dinner by any stretch of the imagination, but it is good food, and they come out, they have a meal, and then they go right into their classes. And some of those classes are being restructured and relaunched, and we're in an evaluation process right now of all of our ministries of what is current, relevant, being utilized and providing a blessing in people's lives, and maybe some things where we can shift our resources and focus and be more effective. So I don't know how often you evaluate things in your life and in your home to see how they're how effective they are, but that's what's going on right now. Our adult class will start at 7 p.m., and I will be teaching in that. So if you get a chance, come and be a part of that. I'm at district council this week as we have our annual business meeting, and I will be back in town for that tomorrow. So we're going to get into Isaiah, the 64th chapter right now. Isaiah 64, we're going to, like I do with the other chapters, I'm going to read this chapter from one end to the other, and then we will begin to look and discuss at some of the more important aspects of it as far as it relates to us. There's not a more important word and a less important word. It's just, you know, what will we be able to bless the radio audience with? It says, Isaiah 64, 1, "Oh, that you, capital Y, would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence, when you did awesome things for which we did not look. You came down, the mountain shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs up himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you our potter. And all we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we all are your people. Your holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praised you, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? Let's go back to verse number one. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down. And when I read that verse, I just think that that is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus came and he dwelt among us. And so I want you to know today that where sins may cause the heavens to be as brass as it's described in the Old Testament, to where it doesn't seem as if our prayers are rising much above our lips, the presence of Jesus came and made available to us access to the throne room of heaven. You see, I want to go and be where he is, but in this life, I also need his presence in my life. And that's what Isaiah is really crying out here in these first few verses, is how desperately and how impactful the presence of God is. Church is still not supposed to be just a social club. I believe that we should be friendly, and I believe that we should do things with excellence. But I also believe that what we need more than anything is the presence of God, and that there is no substitute for the presence of God. Technology cannot substitute for the presence of God. The personality of a pastor cannot substitute for the presence of God. Wealth cannot substitute for the presence of God. Being famous or popular or having large crowds, that cannot substitute for the presence of God. And so when I was looking for someone to come and share for our 65th anniversary service, and there were some possibilities that I toyed with the idea, and I said, no, no, no. And then all of a sudden, this opportunity for Jerry Hill of Together in the Harvest Ministries presented itself. And I said, you know what? I may not be able to get them to say yes, but I'm going to stretch, because what I want for Merit Assembly of God is the presence of God. And I like I shared with our ladies on Mother's Day a little over a week ago, you know, I can be in the same room, I can be in the same crowd, but I need God with me. I need to be able to say I'm with him, or I can, like I said to the ladies, you know, my wife and I can be in a room filled with people, and I need to be able to say I'm with her and she's with me. And we're together in this. We're not just at the same place at the same time. We are engaged in the same process. And that is, we want the presence of God. Okay? If you don't want the presence of God, there's no need to pray for your church services. But if you want the presence of God, we need to be seeking his face. It is true that he is omnipresent, but I don't just want him to be in the room. I want to know that he is there on the same mission that I'm on, and that is to that I'm there for the same reason he is, and that is to build the kingdom of God. And so Isaiah says, God, that you would rend the heavens. And that word rend, when I think of that, that is what the people would do in a tremendous act of desperation, and that is that they would rend their garments when they were overcome with sorrow. When there was something that they had just heard that grieved them badly, they would rend their garments. And when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the veil in the temple, it was torn, it was rent in from the top to the bottom. I have something that I believe, and I can't prove it from the scriptures, but I believe that when that veil was torn, it was not only torn from top to bottom, but it was torn from the inside out. It was the presence of God saying, because of the death of Jesus Christ, I am now going to not be isolated and cut off from the masses, but instead I am going to move freely upon the earth, and I am going to bring salvation to the Jews and salvation to the Gentiles. I believe that God has always and will always want to dwell in the midst of his people. If you take offense to that, I'm okay with that. You don't have to agree with me. It's just that I believe that it was not darkness getting into where God was. I believe it was the presence of God coming out. And so, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down. You know, a lot of people, when they go someplace, they want to go there just for the experience of it. But Isaiah here says that his motive for asking that God would rend the heavens and that he would come down is not just that God would be on a vacation from heaven. It's not that he could just go there as a silent observer, but he says that the mountains might shake at your presence. And when we think of those mountains, we think of obstacles. There were a lot of glorious things that happened on mountains. There was the Mount of Transfiguration Mount Sinai, lots of encounters for Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and mountains. There are some glorious things that happen there, but mountains tend to many times in our life refer to obstacles that are standing in our way of getting to our destination. And Isaiah says, God, I want your presence to come, so that the obstacles, the barriers that are there that are preventing people from seeing your glory, God, that when your presence comes, that those mountains, they would be taken care of. Jesus said that if we had faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would obey us. And so I believe that one of the first things that we need to do is we need to say, God, does this mountain needs to be moved? Because if God's the creator, okay, so I'm not just talking about landscape or things like that, but obstacles here. Is there something in my life that needs to be taken out of the way, and no matter how large or ominous it looks, I can look at it and see and say and declare in faith that that mountain is going to be removed. I was watching a little newsletter that I get. It's a little video clip, and a person he called out one of my weaknesses, and he doesn't know me by name, so it wasn't personal, but he said, if you have trouble remembering people's names, don't be saying, hey, I have trouble remembering people's names. He said, begin to address that situation and say, you know what? It might not be my natural skill set, but with God's help, I'm going to get better and better and better at remembering people's names. And so I felt convicted when he said that and said, you know what? I'm going to do better at remembering people's names with God's help. Now, I want you to realize that in order for this mountain to shake at the presence of God, it was not shaking because of a new strategy. It wasn't shaking because Isaiah wanted the mountain to be. It was going to shake at the presence of God. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where the noise was reverberating so loud that it began to shake or quake the ground under your feet. You live here on the Space Coast, so I'm sure that at some point in time you have felt the ground shake or the windows rattle from the thrust of one of the rockets or the space shuttle as it launched into the heavens. And I want you to know that God, by his presence, everything that hinders you, everything that stands in your way, it begins to shake because it knows that God is on the scene. I have this small little pile, and I'm talking small in mountain standards. I'm not talking small in as in, you know, just a 5 gallon bucket. I've got it. It's a little bigger than that. I've got this small little hill, and whenever I go to try and deal with it, and I deal with it manually, it's not a lot of fun. But I had a person that it was a lot larger at one point in time, and he said, "You know what you need is you'd need different equipment. You need some heavy equipment to come in and see that mountain." And it was a mountain at that point in time. It was a very large pile of stuff. And he said, "You need a mountain mover." And that's what the presence of God is for you and for me. What mountains do you need to move in your life? You see, too many times people are saying, "Well, I'm not going to come to God until I get my life all cleaned up." In verse number 6, it says, all our righteousnesses in this translation are like filthy rags. And, nobody really wants to put on dirty clothes. I don't know about you. I just don't like to put on dirty, smelly, rotten clothes. And so it's our righteousnesses are going to be ineffective. But when we accept the fact that Jesus is our righteousness, all of a sudden that we realize that the presence of Jesus is a mountain mover in our life. See, you can't clean up your own self, but Jesus can clean you up himself. It's the presence of God. He will birth in you a desire for holiness. He says that the mountains might shake at your presence as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. So why was Isaiah asking for the presence of God to come down, for the mountains to shake at his presence? It was so that his name would be known to those who had assumed an adversarial relationship against him. During Isaiah's time, Israel, the 10 northern tribes, were invaded by Assyria, and they were carried off into captivity, and they made it all the way down to, during Hezekiah's reign, all the way to the gates of Jerusalem. It was a tremendously devastating time. You never like to see a pruning going on in your life. Pruning is a painful process. It's not a lot of fun. But during that time, they had taken an adversarial relationship against the people of God, and Isaiah said, "What we need is we need the presence of God." And when Hezekiah assumed the throne, God began to do great and glorious things. The Assyrians experienced a tremendous military defeat, even though they made great boast. And so here it says that that you would come, that you would make your name known to your adversaries. And I could tell you that the Assyrians, they boasted and they said, Hezekiah took down all of the high places. So what God are you going to call on? Well, the one who made everything that there is. That's who they were going to call on. And that person made the mistake of mocking the God of Israel. David, when he took on Goliath, he said, I'm not worried about my personal self, but you've defied the armies of the living God. Who is this person who has positioned himself as an adversary of God? He said, God, that you would come down, that you would shake the mountains with your presence, that even your adversaries would know your name. You see, if you look back in the Old Testament, you would find that the Tower of Babel was built because they wanted to make a name for themselves. And we should not be so interested in making a name for ourselves as we are in making the name of Jesus widely known. And so he said, God, I want your adversaries to know your name. Why? That the nations may tremble at your presence when you did awesome things for which we did not look. He said, God, I want not only the mountains to tremble at your presence, I want your adversaries to know your name, and I want the nations, the people groups of the earth, to tremble at your presence. Sometimes we can be guilty of becoming too comfortable and too familiar. I want to ask you, when was the last time that you gave serious consideration to the holiness and the omnipotence of God? And what a privilege it is for us to be his children. It is truly, truly a wonderful gift of grace that we can have fellowship with him. Thank God that the church has been given the ministry of reconciliation. I don't want us to become so cavalier in our attitude where it is no big deal to come into the presence of God. It is through the name of Jesus Christ that we have access to the throne of grace. And we can come boldly, but we need to realize that it's a high and holy calling to be able to come into the presence of God. In biblical times, when Esther was a queen, she was royalty. And she said, look, I can't even go into the king's presence, A, uninvited, or B, if I do go in uninvited, that he has got to extend to me the golden scepter so that I can have access to the throne room. She said, and if he doesn't, then the penalty for me is death. In the old covenant, if the high priest went in, he needed to be ready. There are some people who have said that they literally kept the high priest awake all night before he went in to make sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. That way there would be no unintentional sinning even in his dreams, that they wanted to make sure that he did not die in the process of going in and making intercession for the nations. Folks, God is a holy God. And his presence, you know, we have down here on earth Geiger counters that measure radioactivity because it can look like clean air. It can look like just any other place, but if there's radioactivity there, it will take you out unless you are equipped with the proper suits. And I watched a fishing show where a guy was fishing in the waters of a nuclear reactor, and he could only stay exposed to a certain amount, and then he had to come out and go through all sorts of cleansing process. I'm not saying that the presence of God is toxic. What I'm saying is our sin is toxic to us. It leaves us uncovered. We are thankful that we have a Savior today that equips us and covers us and makes access to us the throne of grace. But I don't just want the presence of God for myself. I want the presence of God to come so that obstacles are removed, that the presence of God would shake the nations so that even the people who are at war with him would know his name and they would tremble at his presence. In 2017, the presence of God is still essential. In 2017, Jesus is still necessary for salvation. In 2017, we still need the Holy Spirit moving in people's hearts and in people's lives, convicting them of their sins and bringing them to that place of repentance. We need revival. We need the presence of God. In America, in Brevard County, we need the presence of God. And so I want to ask you, would you join us in praying the same prayer that Isaiah prayed? God, would you rend the heavens? Would you come to Brevard County? And would you come in might and power that changes the spiritual landscape, that the people of God would know your presence, though that drug dealers would suddenly become aware of your presence, Lord, that alcoholics would become aware of your presence, that people trapped in sin of all sorts would know, hey, I need to get my right life with God, my life right with God. I think I misspoke there, but wouldn't it be great if what happened in other places happened here, and that is because of the presence of God operating in men and women in this community, that there was one guy that said when he came, there were no Christians, and when he died, there were no sinners, because the entire nation put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a move of God here in Brevard County. I pray that you join me in praying for that. Father, would you rend the heavens and come to Brevard County one more time? Would you make the mountains shake at your presence? Would you cause even your adversaries to know your name and tremble at your presence? God, may the name of Jesus be famous here in Brevard County. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.